your feeble demon's power. Nothing can harm me. Nothing.
You wrong.
Simon staggered, but didn't fall immediately, his head turning to see the blazing destruction of his symbol of power.
Missed me.
Shoo.
You wish.
Jack holstered his gun and turned away, starting to walk back toward his home, showing with total certainty that Simon was doomed. Simon sank to his knees, his system still holding off the rending agony of his wound.
I will sit down.
Dean had reloaded his Browning with bullets that he'd hidden in his breechcloth, and he leveled his gun at the kneeling figure. Jack was 20 yards away, and he didn't even look back.
No, he done.
Dean hesitated a moment, glancing at the other three. Doc shook his head, as did Mildred.
Jack's right. Let's go and have some food and catch up on our sleep. You never know. Ryan and the others might come back tomorrow.
The Apostle Simon lay down and watched the five figures walk away from him, throwing long, stark shadows in the bright moonlight. And then he felt the first spasm of pain.
Like my father used to say, be back again some lucky day.
The day was bitterly cold, with a dazzling sun hanging at the center of an untouched blue sky. From east to west and north to south, there wasn't even the hint of a cloud. All around, it seemed that you could just reach out and touch the perfection of the snow-covered mountains. The cold air had the unmistakable scent of salt from the Pacific Ocean only a few miles away, beyond the ruins of old Seattle. Here and there it was possible to make out the thin tendrils of cooking fires among the stumps of the nuked city buildings. But whatever ate there, ate alone. The oppressive wet weather of the past 3 days had vanished, and it had snowed during the previous night as the temperature dropped well below freezing. Now, an hour after dawn, it was a heaven of a morning. Ryan and JB had found no cover, waking up to find their sleeping bags were crusted with frozen snow.
Last day of the last week.
Ryan stooped, trying to get a fire going to warm them up and dry their clothes and heat some oatmeal.
Now we'll see.
JB checked that the cold hadn't affected any of his guns.
Yeah, we'll see.
They had decided that the best place to begin the final stage of their search would be to pick a high spot with a view over Seattle from the east. There was a particular hill that suited their purpose, and they were working their way toward it. Apart from the scattered fires among the ruins, there didn't seem to be a living soul within 50 miles of them. As they climbed higher, in a clearing among the pines, they saw a pair of white-pelted hares, who totally ignored them. In a valley to the right, they spotted a small herd of deer, picking their way delicately through the frosted grass. JB nudged Ryan and pointed to the star on his shoulder, but Ryan had just shaken his head.
Bullet on a still cold morning like this might be heard 20 miles off. Could attract Abe and Trader, if they're anywhere near. Could attract anyone else.
It was hard work, and both men were panting as they neared the crest of the small mountain.
You can make out the sea from here.
Yeah, look at the Cascades back yonder.
A few more paces brought them to the top, giving them the ultimate view all the way around. Now they could see the far side of the slope, bisected by a narrow hunting path. Two figures were about 100 yards below them, struggling upward through the deeper snow. The smaller man was sliding and falling, a little way to the rear. The leader, using the butt of what looked like an old Armalite rifle to help himself, was gray-haired, tall and erect. He spotted the pair on the ridge above him immediately, and stopped for a single heartbeat. Then he lifted the rifle above his head in an unmistakable gesture.
There they are.
Deathlands Road Wars is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2007, James Axler. Production copyright 2007, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Richard Rowan, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King-Williams, Nanette Savard, Karen Carbone, David Coyne, Tim Carlin, Jim Lawson, Kate Torrey, Michael Replogle, Dylan Lynch, Ken Jackson, Doug Krenzlin, Nazia Chowdhury, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts performed by the Dead Giveaways. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing by Nathaniel Perry. Graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry and Temeskin Wubna. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. Book adapted for graphic audio by Wilson T. Ferrier. If you enjoy Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at Roadstops Everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening for the next episode of Mark Dalton, Owner Operator. Graphic Audio presents Mark Dalton, Owner Operator by Ido Van Belkom. Copyright 2007, Ido Van Belkom. Performed by David Coyne and the Graphic Audio Players. Episode 3, Offloaded.
Mark Dalton watched the last of the skids being unloaded from the trailer he'd been hauling and tried to get his dispatcher on the phone again. He called in as soon as he reached the restaurant supply company in Saskatoon, but the dispatcher, an old-timer named Bud with a surly disposition and a belly produced by the consumption of his namesake, said he needed more time to confirm the next load. So Mark had watched them unload the trailer, glad to see it delivered undamaged and on time. There had been a little trouble in northern Ontario, but after he hit the Manitoba border, it was smooth sailing the rest of the way.
Dispatch.
It's Mark Dalton, Bud.
Yeah?
I'm in Saskatoon, waiting for my next load, remember?
Of course I remember. What do you think I've been working on the last hour?
Mark resisted the urge to say something smart. The last time he did, he found himself running back and forth between New Jersey and Toronto for 6 straight weeks.
Well, what you got?
Something special, just for you. Head over to Saskatchewan Place on Thatcher. There's a trade show just finished up there, headed for Vancouver.
Mark smiled at the prospect of Vancouver. It was one of his favorite spots in Canada, and he wondered if he'd be able to spend a few days there before taking on the next load.
What's the load?
High-tech electronics. New fancy stuff. A lot of it ain't even on the market yet.
Mark had read something about that show in the Saskatoon Star Phoenix while he'd waited to call Bud back. Apparently, the show hadn't got the kind of turnout they expected, but organizers were confident the Vancouver numbers would be better.
What's the schedule like?
You got until Wednesday to get to BC Place. Plenty of time. Even for a guy like you.
Bud's remark wasn't lost on Mark. Mark had earned a reputation for spending time doing stuff other than hauling his load. Like that last little incident outside North Bay.
You know I always deliver.
Yeah, well, one of their regular drivers got called away on a family emergency. They needed somebody fast and reliable. I told them I only had you.
Mark wanted to say something smart back, but figured the cough was punishment enough.
Right. Talk to you on... Yeah, take care of yourself, Bud. Jeez.
When Mark arrived at the convention center, they were halfway done loading up the trailer he and his Pete, affectionately known as Motherload, would be hauling to Vancouver. He backed up with the fifth wheel just short of the trailer's nose and hopped out of the cab to take a look at the merchandise he'd be carrying. A gray-haired man in gray pants and a black shirt with the logo of some electronics firm sewn over the left breast approached him. Colorful guy, Mark thought.
You Mark Dalton?
Yeah, I guess that makes you the shipper.
You could say that.
Mark was surprised that it hadn't taken him an hour to find the man in charge the way it usually does in situations like this. The two men watched as another skid of boxes was being lifted into the trailer. It seemed an odd way to ship special electronics, thought Mark. He'd done a few trade shows before, and things were usually all put into crates on wheels, so they could be easily pushed around the trade show floor. Another thing was the particular attention being given to the crates being stored by the barn doors.
You sure that load is even?
Mark